Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits conversation. I'm Dr. Robin. With me today, I have Brittany Wilson. She is working with Recovery Centers of America as operational support, where she just wears a lot of different hats. She also does some coaching on the side around life balance and helping people find balance in their lives. I have JC Glick. He is a retired Army guy. He works in leadership and culture work with pro sports and corporations. Can't wait to do some work with him. And I have Chasen Forehand. He's the founder of a nonprofit who is working on the dumpster fire that is the unemployment of today's world. He also works with veterans, helping them transition to civilian life. The question I have for you today is, how is trust revoked? So you trusted someone, then you don't. Does it happen all at once? Do you tell them? What else comes up for you when we talk about removing trust? Chasen, where do you want to start this conversation?
Well, this is personal for me because I have trust issues. As a kid that has had issues with family matters, and that created a situation where in my life, I have had trust issues to begin with. So getting to a place where I actually trust someone is difficult for me, and I've had to work on that over the years. But when someone has done something that has revoked that trust, for me, it's even more difficult to circle back around because it's hard at first to trust them. I think it depends on what the issue was and whether or not the other person is willing to help you break through those barriers, because that really is a two-person or multi-person event where you have to break through what's happened and get to the crux of it to move forward.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Chasen. I have a ton of trust issues myself that I really wasn't able to work through until more recently in my adult life. I just kind of would completely shut things out, and that was my way of just not having to deal with it. But I have learned that once someone does break my trust, that's it. It's done, especially a lie. But often just watching human behavior, so it may not be something that directly impacts me, but as I watch others interact among themselves, people kind of show their true colors. I typically don't address it. I just know where I stand and where I'm comfortable getting with that person, how close I'm willing to be to them, to be associated with them, and also what I'm willing to share with them. So that's how I've learn to manage it. Now with family and closer friends, it might be a little different. I may address it, but it is really difficult to go back. I have tried in the past once trust was broken. And I'll be honest with you, for me personally, I just felt like then I was crazy, because after the trust was broken, I just could not really regulate myself. My emotions were all over the place. And I said, you know what? I just have to cut this tie. It's never going to be the same again.
Yeah, when you don't trust someone, it doesn't feel safe.
Well, I'm going to be probably the opposite end of the spectrum. I do this exercise where I ask people if trust is earned or if trust is given. And I believe trust must be given. Right? And we give trust every day. We get out on the road with people we don't know, and they cut us off, and we're mad about that. If we didn't trust them, we would just be like, of course you cut me off. I don't trust you at all. Right. I mean, so we give trust. I'm sure that not everybody here checks their food when it gets delivered by a wait staff to see if it got spit in. Like, we trust people all day long. So in my mind, we have to give trust to especially the people who are closest in our lives, whether that be family or whether that be coworkers. And one of the things I say is, if you give trust, I can guarantee one thing. Someone at some point will break that trust. And people say, well, giving trust, that's naive. It's not naive if I know that it can be broken. It's only naive if I think no one will ever break my trust. It's not naive. So I have an expectation that at some point that trust will be broken. And then I have a decision to either judge the action that broke my trust or the actor that broke my trust. And one action does not mean that that actor is untrustworthy. I'm kind of forgiving on trust, probably more than my wife would like, in that, look, you can break my trust a number of times. And if those are different ways, like, that's just an action. It's not necessarily who you are. Circumstances happen, bad circumstances happen. I think, though, that when I've decided, like, look, I don't find you to be trustworthy in a situation, or maybe overall, I just need to say, like, hey, I'm sure you're awesome. I'm sure you're a great person and you do awesome stuff elsewhere. It's just, you're not the right fit for my tribe, for my life right now. And it's not a judgment thing. It's not a, this person's bad. It's just, for whatever reason, we don't mesh together in how we need to see the world.
I'm kind of in the middle. I'm willing to be pretty trusting, but if you show me that you're not trustworthy, I'm really quick to say, nope, I don't need that in my life. Thank you very much. And so I think that, yeah, for me, it's a very middle ground thing. Although when trust is broken, do I feel like I need to tell someone? Not usually. Usually I'll just walk away like, okay, don't need that. Move on. But if it's someone who is close to me or wants to interact with me at a level where I feel like this is not going to be working, I will say, look, I don't trust you to do your word. For me, if your actions don't match what you say, that's manipulation. And if you won't then address it and have a conversation about it, that's gaslighting. And I don't need that in my life.
That's interesting. I mean, I agree with JC that you have to be willing to offer grace to people. And it's taken me a long time in my life to get to the place where I could offer grace more willingly. And again, my wife is much better. My wife is much better at that than I am. But I think it's being able to face the person that stares back at you in the mirror and know who you are and know what you're about and be able to forgive those, even if they haven't offered an apology, to move past your trust issues and be okay with yourself and what you're doing. So I kind of resonate with that a little bit, but yeah, I still do have those things to keep working on. Even as I get older, I'm still working on it. I'm a work in progress. So
I think that awareness helps though. My husband and I early on in our relationship got to a point where with my own trust issues, he was like, you're going to screw this up. And I was like, how dare you? And then I literally had to take that step back, you know, look at yourself in the mirror. And I was like, you are correct. As much as I don't want to admit that, I was just jumping on things. So to JC's point, you do have to give a little. If you present yourself to the world in this completely closed off way, you're probably sending a vibe that makes you feel untrustworthy. And then that can lead to some other behaviors that aren't going to be great. So it's an interesting cycle. And I'm very passionate about the work I do with couples because trust is huge and it can easily be broken. The tricky part with trust is what is the expectation to begin with? I think we've got some different buckets. We've got some professional boundaries. You've got personal friendships and intimate relationships, and they can all look a little bit different. And the expectations are largely different depending on what you're dealing with there. But that does take learning. The more aware I've become, the easier it's been for me to not get so hung up on it and to push through and work through it and allow that grace. I don't think it means somebody's a bad person, but Dr. Rob and I will cut the tie if I need to. I'll just back away.
Mm-hmm. I've always found it interesting that when I do this exercise, it takes like 30 minutes to talk through it, but 90% of people say trust is earned. Trust has to be earned. And it's situational. Like, do I trust you watching my kids or do I trust you to not bash into my car? But what I find amazing is everybody says, well, there's this earned trust and there's situational trust. But then when I say, well, do you always want to be trusted? Everybody looks at me and says, well, yeah. Because they believe they are owed that trust. So I find that dichotomy to be interesting, that when it's external, it's situational and it's earned. When it's driven back to yourself, you go, oh no, you can trust me in any situation. Maybe don't trust me to launch a space shuttle or heart surgery, unless that's what I do. But like, yeah, you can trust me in anything. Like I'm a good person. And I just always find that interesting because it's that sense of self, right? How do I make sense of others and how do I make sense of myself? And does that align? Which is something that arguably not everybody has time to just sit around and think about, but the older I get, the more I think about. Does my sense of sense making externally match with my sense of sense making internally? Mm-hmm. So that I say what I mean and I mean what I say.
Yeah. Well, that is our 10 minutes. So I have to cut us off. But I do love that idea, what you just said there, JC. trusting me makes me a good person and not trusting me makes me a bad person. And I think that's a conversation for a different day. So thank you so much. And I look forward to speaking to each of you again very soon.